Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hi there, and welcome to the show. Our special guest today works with the Mouse Quest podcast, which is your guide for the perfect Disney vacation. You may also know her from DisneyGals.com. She's also part of the GoodEnoughMother.com staff, and she submitted articles for our friend Janice over at the adult side of Disney.com. She's so much more than just Disney. She's also a mom of five, a grandma of four. She's been teaching for 28 years, and she's the director of a free, nationally recognized children's theater program. It's one of the top 20 in the nation. This girl doesn't mess around. So we want to welcome you, Gail Feldman-Turner. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, gee, thanks so much for sharing that. I'm going to go hide in the corner of the room now and not come out until, I don't know, 2050. Thanks so much, Krista. And we'll all be seeing you tonight. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
That's quite an introduction there, Gail.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay. And as soon as I turn from bright beet red back to a normal shade, I'll let you know.
No problem.
Just in case my children might turn it on now. One of my children the other day went, "You have a website?" I went, "Yeah, you've written for it. You've put articles on there." Yes. Oh. Mom, we thought that was just Facebook.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, sometimes I wonder if my kids have any idea what I do here all day. It's interesting.
My youngest one does.
So let's start with the interview. Tony, you want to ask her the first question?
Sure. No. So Disney has this social media mom celebration every year, and you had taken part this year. So you could tell us a little bit about, the celebration and what you guys do at this event, this coveted event that everybody tries to get to every year.
That Disney Social Media Mom Celebration was started a few years ago. This year was the first year that it was actually held in Disneyland. Nobody knows how the invites come. You don't know what they saw in you. You don't know what they read of yours, how you came to be. It's put on by both Maria Bailey and part of the Walt Disney Media team, including Leanne and Gary, people like that. And it's literally like getting the golden ticket to Willy Wonka's factory. So when I opened the email, it apparently had been sitting in my spam for 30 days.
Oh, wow.
And started crying. And I was at recess and happened to open it with my class standing around. And I'm sobbing and I'm crying and I'm shaking. And they wanted to know what was wrong. And all I could say was, "Oh, I get to go see Olaf." And when you get there and you look around, I mean, talk about being treated like royalty. And you're sitting there talking to the president of Disney, and you're surrounded by all these writers that in my mind are exalted and great. And you're trying to figure out, why am I here? But very few people are actually Disney writers. There's food writers, there's crafting writers, there's family writers, there's everybody from every walk of life. And it's a lot of it is to not only inspire yourself, but to introduce people to Disney. So we had this year, we had Donald Driver talk to us, Maxine, who started Build-A-Bear Company. Of course, the Gary Buchanan, who when you hear him talk and you see the genius that is within, oh my gosh. Aaron Glover, we had Grumpy Cat there. And then we heard that story from somebody that was working two and three jobs, and it started as a fluke, posting the pictures of the cat. Donald Driver's story, he's so much more than a football player, and everybody knows him now, I guess, from Dancing with the Stars. But you hear these inspiring back, and you just want to go home and be more. And then they do things for us. One night they closed down Toontown, and had a private party for us. And another night we had World of Color seating. They had a special run in the morning. And Maria Bailey is one of the most encouraging, generous people I've ever met. So if you're someone like me that running is more like walk with purpose and I'm doing it to get the T-shirt at the end, she could tell when you're hurting or tired and wouldn't make you feel bad if you maybe needed to cut through a middle part, not quite go the whole path, but just one person more gracious to you than the next. Oh, and it's 3 days of seminars, workshops, writing. It's one of those things you and really good food. Really good food.
Yeah.
We happened to be there during the Small World celebration, the 50th anniversary of that. So that was going on. Robert Sherman was there. So he was part of it. And just there's no words to describe it. And again, wow. You don't know how you got there or how you got the invitation or why, which the mini version, which is Disney on the Road, which they take right. That it's that morning thing. You can apply for that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can apply for that one and you just Disney on the Road website and watch for it. And that's during the summer. And I had done the one that had come locally and I was actually supposed to go to the one in Arizona this year and kind of missed out on that.
Yeah, I've only heard very good things from the couple times they've done them here in Walt Disney World. And, I know everybody's like, how do you get to that event? And everybody says that the food was great, the entertainment was great, and then the sessions, because like you're saying, a lot of them are to inspire you, but then also some of them are to, educate you and give you more knowledge to, make you even a better person. Social media person.
And we were educated on the healthy food initiative and we were educated on fitness. And it wasn't just Disney. It was all areas, things that you could take back, whether you're a classroom teacher by day like I am or a writer full time or any walk of life. And that's why it caters to so many different writers from so many walks of life. And even walking away, you're still trying to figure out months later, how did I get there? How did it happen? I know it's back at Walt Disney World next year. I hear it's going to be in May. And that's about all we know. And then, it's supposed to be that you go one time only. And then some people have been there a few times, but not consecutively. And it just depends. See, and it's all what they're looking for. Some years they're looking for people that deal specifically with people working with young children, young families, and that's their focus. Some years it's other focuses. And again, you don't know what it is. But yeah, wow. Seeing that. And my first thought when I saw the email was that somebody had forwarded it to me saying, oh, look, somebody got this. They're sending me that. And then it takes a while to process that it's your name. On the email, and that took a while. No, I'm thinking, oh, Janice got an invite, or somebody got an invite. That was seriously my first thought, and then I'm trying to figure out, who do I know that got the invite?
Oh, well, that's awesome. I mean, it's cool to learn about all this. There are different things. So there's the mom's panel, which you apply for, and everybody's doing that right now, trying to get on the mom's panel.
It starts tomorrow morning.
Yes. Yeah. So what's the big draw for the mom's panel? Why does everybody want to be on that?
I think most of the people honestly want to share their love of Disney and their passion for Disney. Most of us that write about Disney, you just mention the word and we can immediately help you plan your trip. It's that lifelong passion that's built up on us, the positive force it's had in our life, and you want to pass that on to others. And so from talking to you two, I could probably go to and figure out how to make reservations 180 days in advance or schedule your fast passes, because if it's your first trip to Walt Disney World, it's really overwhelming. And these are the people you can go to that just want to share that passion with you. It's like talking to parents in the classroom and helping them plan their next vacation. Some people use it for the social media presence and the things that people gain from it, where they can go from it, and the ability to write and deal with, look at Faith and her love of running and how she's been able to inspire hundreds, if not thousands, of people from across the country. Yeah, yeah. So translate into that. And I think it's 9 o'clock tomorrow morning that the applications open up. I know they start tomorrow morning. Last year, there were six essay questions you had to answer in 100 words or less. So it's about your writing and can you be clear and can you be concise?
And last year, they were making everybody do videos too, right?
That's not till the second round. So you got to get to the second round to do the dreaded video. and they don't want something, if you get to the video round, they don't want something overproduced. They want to see your personality. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the videos are just, you know, FaceTime on your phone or sitting in front of your computer. So they're not looking for you to go out and hire a video company. Again, it's with your writing. If you get to the video round, which then if you've to the second round, then that was 10 more questions last year, plus the video, and in a very short time span. And then if you make it past that, then there's the phone interview. And then what they did last year after you went through the phone interview is they popped a question at you to see how you would answer it. So, and that's what people don't realize, that this is a 24/7 job. You need to be available all the time, even when you're on vacation, even if you have a working, they have requirements for how many questions you need to answer a week. And most people are more than willing to do that. So they do send you to training in December at Walt Disney World and teach you the ins and outs, and then it goes from there.
So, you know, it's interesting because I would think that, you know, they don't throw away the questions and the answers. You know, every question that's answered, you know, is archived on the Moms Panel website.
Exactly.
I would think that there, at this point, there hasn't been a question that's never been answered that somebody could go, oh, that's been answered before. Let me just go grab that answer and send it off to, you know, this person. I'd be interesting to, you know, I guess, can they use the older answers or do they have to write their own new version of those answers?
I honestly don't know how that works, but I know just like everything in life, Disneyland and Disney World is always evolving.
Right. Yeah.
I was writing a series of articles about Disneyland for vegan eating because a friend of mine had decided they needed to be vegan for health reasons, and things that were accurate when I first wrote the article, even though it was just a year ago, have all changed. Restaurants change all the time. Their menus change all the time. Hotel accommodations change. Just this year, the big questions are about the Magic Bands.
Yeah.
And how to deal with the Magic Bands, the guest assistant passes, and all the changes that went through. So some of the, everybody should already know that just because it's called Fantasyland and Disneyland doesn't mean all those rides are necessarily good for small children. Don't take a little child on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and expect to get out alive. But things like that don't change. Dumbo's still going to be the longest wait in the park. But yeah, that's a really good point, Tony. I'm not sure what they do for that or if they just want a fresh spin on it.
Yeah, and they probably could have a dozen people just answering Magic Band questions 24/7, and that still wouldn't, you know, cover everything.
No, and until you experience Magic Band,
exactly,
no written answer is going to help you because it varies from cast member to cast member.
Right.
And I found that one out too.
Walt Disney World technology, you know, and ticket media is completely different than Disneyland's technology and ticket media, so...
Yeah, we don't have thumbprints out here. They still take our APs and they look at our picture and say, hi, Gail. And like we were talking about earlier, we still get to pull the fast pass.
Right.
And apparently we don't see that changing out here anytime soon. So yet another reason to love the original.
I agree. I agree.
I don't know. Maybe if I lived back east and had grown up with that one, but I like my small little park where I've seen Walt Disney back in the days and you just the history all around you. And I can decide that afternoon where I want to eat for dinner that night.
How about that? So, Gail, tell us a little bit about that. Now, your first visit to Disney, you were something like 9 months old. Is that right?
9 months old.
Disneyland.
Disneyland. It had just opened. It was 1955. Because my dad was a doctor, that's where the doctor conventions were every year, was at Disneyland. And people say, oh, my child's too small or too young to remember. Well, I remember something. I remember sounds. I can remember colors. I can remember my mom carrying me. And back in those days, you wore dresses and heels. The reason I think I still to this day love the Jungle Boat is because she almost dumped me in the river trying to get on the boat.
In her heels. But
in her, yeah, in her heel. And yeah, she had other things in her hand. We'll just leave it at that. And, but trying to balance and stuff. But I can remember that. I can remember being 1 or 2 years old and then building the Matterhorn. And I can remember the scaffolding of it. I can remember riding on donkeys. I can remember the stagecoach holdups and things that they don't have anymore. One of the things I've been doing this year with Disney Gals is for some reason I decided this will be a good day to write about every single day Disneyland history. Oh, so other than it's daunting having to write that every day, and some days, okay, nothing happened at Disneyland, but I can find something to tie it into. But the memories it's bringing back for me, I can remember being on Main Street and looking up and, oh, there's that guy that does the TV show. But at the time, you're not connecting it to, that's Walt Disney that I'm looking at. But then years later, getting to ride in the Lily Bell and going into his apartment and just being in Club 33 and the history that's around you. Just feel the history from the moment you walk in. You know that that was a place that was built for his children and for his family so they would have a place. And I think that's why I like it so much. It's family all around, and it doesn't matter if I'm there by myself. It doesn't matter. Every year I take 300 to 400 high school students for a music program, and to see their faces light up, because even though we don't live that far, we live, it's a 7-hour car ride, but it's only an hour in a plane. And half the high school kids we've taken have never been to Disneyland. I don't know what's wrong with their parents, but... And to see their faces and to see their excitement from riding on Dumbo or riding on the merry-go-round or walking around in ears. There's just nothing like it anywhere.
I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Disneyland. I like that it feels like a park.
It does. It feels like home.
Yeah. You know, Disney World is this vast theme park. It's a theme park. It's not a park. It's a theme park. And... you know, one, you know, somebody's told us is one is, a destination, Florida, and one is a park for, you know, really the local residents of Southern California.
Right. Yeah. And I'm fascinated by Walt Disney World. I am. I could spend days and days at Animal Kingdom being out on Wild Africa Trek or eating my way around Epcot. So, but Disneyland says home to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of which, you and Disneyland are both celebrating a special birthday next year.
We are. We are
yeah,
both
so
turning
tell us more
60.
About that.
So, we are both turning 60. Disneyland has had a whole lot more refurbishments than I have. But in spring of next year, there will be a big announcement of what's coming up. So right now, to kick it off, they've been running the Get Happier promotions where every Monday during the summer, you have to watch the Disney Parks blog site or follow them on Twitter to see what happens on Mondays. And I actually think that's ending like with Labor Day weekend. So when we were down there, we got buttons that allowed us to have the run of the park after it closed. And they've run that one a couple of times. They've had special seating for World of Color. They've had different passes. And they're building up to little things. So we've heard rumors of what may be going on, but nobody will spill the beans yet. But you can bet that come July 17th next year, when Disneyland turns 60, something special will be happening. I was there for the 50th and the transformation that took place. And this will be 100-fold, I'm sure. But in the spring of 2015 is when they're going to make the big announcement, and they will have a full day celebration. I'm sure they'll have writers and bloggers, and it's supposed to be located on Main Street. And then they'll announce more of what's going on next year. So you have that to look forward to probably at the end of March is what we're hearing.
So do you think I should make an early trip in July and then go back for the expo in August?
I would totally just come in July and stay.
Yeah.
My son lives 10 minutes from the park down there. I can get you a room at his house.
There you go, Tony.
Yeah, I would. In the old days, you could go to Disneyland on its birthday and not really even realize it was birthday. They'd have some cake on Main Street, and you might be able to buy a pin, and that was it.
Yeah.
But like with everything in social media now and the world around us now, everything is just amped up so much. So I don't know. I want to be there on July 17th.
Yeah. You'll probably have to be invited to that event because I have a feeling it's going to reach capacity pretty quick.
Yeah, it's like going on New Year's Eve. If you're not there on New Year's Eve by 9 in the morning, you're not getting into the park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think people will be camping out front to try to get in that day?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I don't know how they're going to work the annual passes or what they're going to do with that. But I would guess that they'll do something like they do for the 24-hour events, where if you're one of the first 1,000 through the door, we're going to give you something special. And if you're not, then you can go home an hour later and get it off of eBay. The first 24-hour event was not as big as the recent 24-hour events have been. And now they've gotten really good about how to rope off the lines. They put bands on you now, so you don't have to worry about people cutting in front of you. So they're growing with the program, just like the program is growing. Although this year I spent the 24-hour event back at Walt Disney World, and I actually felt guilty that I wasn't at my home park. I did. But it was good to experience.
Yeah.
It was fun.
What did you think of that experience here, being 24 hours here?
I had a good time, and the Mine Train had just opened.
Right.
So we got to do the Mine Train several times because it hadn't advertised to open yet.
Right.
We stayed in one park. We stayed at the Magic Kingdom all day. We didn't go park hopping. We got to go to Be Our Guest. So it was spread out. They had lots of fun stuff. The picture opportunities by the big clock where you can make your hands look like the dials of the clock.
Yep.
The villain event, although my t-shirt doesn't say 24-hour event unless you look on the back, and I am all about the t-shirt. So I wanted it to say 24-hour event on the front, but we had a good time. There's more things open on your side of the world than ours. We only have a couple of eating spots open in the middle of the night. I also noticed with you guys, lots of people weren't even coming into the parks until much later in the day. And it was actually more crowded later in the day than it was earlier in the day, where we just kind of come and we stay. Everybody's there to start with and nobody goes home.
Yeah, my theory is all the tourists don't really know that it's happening or don't care that it's happening and go somewhere else. And then once everybody gets off of work locally, the park just fills up. And then everybody stays. And I think, like you're saying, it is way more crowded from, say, 7 o'clock till midnight than it is from, like, midnight till 6 a.m.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that was astonishing to me. And it was...
It's a little frightening, too.
It was. I'm not real thrilled with crowds, but I'll do them. And in Disneyland, I know how to navigate and work my way around the crowds.
Right.
Back there, I'm still, as I walk into Main Street and I look, I have a hard time processing that's not the right castle down there, that your streets are wider. And that's not what should be on the left-hand side. That's not how the Emporium looks. So it's almost like speaking a second language where I have to convert everything over to have it make sense.
Right.
And people think if you've been to Disneyland, oh, you don't need to go to Magic Kingdom or vice versa. Oh, no, that's not true. Yeah. Parks are nothing alike. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Now, when your park at Disneyland gets to capacity, do they do crazy things like they did at our park where they open the area from Tomorrowland to Main Street backstage and you walk backstage?
No, we just shut it down. No, they just say closed.
Closed, because your backstage is, I've been to back there and it's really tight. I don't think you could fit more people back there.
It's really tight and that's where all the magic happens. So no, I think we've opened it a couple times at the end of like fireworks or something so you could walk around and through there.
Right.
but there's a lot of performing. There's my son did Disney Performing Arts Conservatory. So we went back there only on one afternoon so we could see our kids, and walking through there and singing. This is where everything from the Aladdin show to Broadway is recorded and choreographed. And, you know, the Sherman Brothers brought Walt Disney back there and played songs. And a lot of that's back there. So it doesn't open a lot. And there's other secrets that we can't talk about because it's Disney magic.
Yeah.
But just to know you were walking back there and thinking about, again, the history that must have taken place and the shows that were created back there. So, no, we don't have the room to open things back there. We're landlocked.
When I go back there, I always tease the cast members and say, you know, what would Walt think about us walking back here?
Yeah.
You know, you put up some plants and flags. That doesn't make it better.
Yeah.
You know, I can still see the dumpster from here.
Yeah, and just we were noticing on our last trip last month that we saw cast members crossing across in sections that their outfits didn't fit in. Yeah. And I've never seen that before. I've never seen somebody from Frontierland walking openly in Main Street unless they were doing crowd control for the parades or something.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the other thing you guys don't have back here. We camp out for spots. So you guys camping out to see fireworks, that's like a 30-minute thing. We sit for 4 hours waiting for Fantasmic or for in front of the castle for fireworks. I think I sat down like an hour early and people thought I was crazy.
Yeah, they're kind of taking, I think, crowd control, some cues from Disneyland here in Florida now. They are splitting Main Street and making, you know, one side in and one side and out. And you guys kind of do that because your sidewalk, well, your area in Main Street is a lot less bigger than ours.
Yeah, which means, if you happen to have parked your stroller on the wrong side, not realize they were doing that. Because some nights we don't go through all that. It depends on the crowd levels. So you can get to your stroller that's parked 10 feet from you, but then you suddenly have to walk all the way around Main Street to get to your stroller, no matter how much your grandchild is crying. Yeah, we learned that one the hard way, too.
And even the area in front of for Fantasmic, that's crowd control.
That's crowd control at its best. And we now see people sitting down at 2-3 in the afternoon.
Wow.
For the 9 o'clock show.
Wow.
Which I think the most I've waited for Fantasmic was 4 hours. And that was at Christmas time when it was crowded because I like being in the middle, even though you can see it well. And now I just get the dessert package. It's like, I'm not taking all the kids anymore. I'm taking me and usually Zach.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll scram for the dessert package and my reserve seat and my food right in the middle. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Give me the comfort of a chair.
I will say, Gail, I am kind of spoiled. I have seen Fantasmic twice there. Once from Club 33 and once was with an ABD and we had a reserved area right in front.
That's where the dessert package seating is, right next to the control panel back there.
Yeah,
so you probably had really close. I haven't seen it from Club 33. Yeah. I waited for 40 years to finally get to go to Club 33. And then last year, I actually went 4 times within 2 months.
Wow.
Wow.
So, and the redo, I'm glad I have pictures from the old Club 33. The redo is spectacular, but part of the history is not there anymore.
I know. When somebody told me they turned the elevator into a booth, I almost fell down dead. Wait a minute. Walt Disney loved this elevator, went to France and loved it. Sent Imagineers to make an exact replica, and now you cut it up and made it a booth? Okay, that's good.
And the trophy room is gone, and we're going to turn it into it. Yeah. I mean, the Court of Angels, it's real pretty what they did with it, but again, I like the history, and I understand from a marketing point of view why they do what they do.
Yeah.
So, but this old-timers, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. The booth's still good.
Now, is everything on somebody said everything is on one level now. There's not an upstairs and a downstairs.
Well, the downstairs was just a check-in before.
Right.
So, yeah, it's all that's gone.
Okay.
All that's gone. Wow. But that's okay. And now the Mickey Mouse ears aren't even black like they used to be. So, or at least the ones they had out at the beginning. I don't know what they have right now.
I may have to retire all my Club 33 stuff and archive it.
Yeah, save it. I'm glad I bought extra of everything, and that was I was going to use it as gifts to people. Now nobody's getting it. Sorry.
Because now it's classic Club 33.
Well, it is, and it's like, I'm glad I have that piece of stuff. I wish I had more. We have collected Disney pins since before Disney pin collecting was a thing.
Right.
From back in the 60s. And now I'm glad we have all that because my kids will look at the pins and they can tell you when we got it and why we got it. And it's a memory. Now it's just overwhelming merchandising. Same type of thing.
So do your kids still love Disneyland? Do they like going?
Yes. Well, especially Zach, the youngest. Mm-hmm. Who did Disney Performing Arts, has actually auditioned and gotten through twice. So, they've all been going since, before they were born, but since they were infants. My oldest son, out of all of them, really didn't like it growing up, but he has said now that he's taking his kids and now that he sees it through their eyes, they've become season pass holders.
Wow.
That's awesome. And the others are hooked. And part of it is the family connection and growing up there and the memories. And part of it is they, just like everything, doesn't matter that I've been going since 1955. I find something new that I never knew about every time I go. Zachary's goal is to actually work there. So whether it's he wants to start as a dancer and then work his way into the production end of things. No, he actually has a phone interview on Tuesday, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, good luck, Zachary.
Yeah, he's made it through all the steps, and he's up to the phone interview.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but he just lives and breathes for Disney. He's the most into it out of all of them. But that's what happens when you come 14 years after the rest, and it's just you and Mommy. Aww. And by then, you don't have to take 5 kids. You just take the 1 kid. So he got a lot better treatment than they always stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. Let's not kid ourselves.
I do love that hotel. That is a really nice hotel. Oh, I do too.
And again, I can remember that when it was like a 2-story, almost a travel lodge. Right. And the grounds were expensive, but we had this little play area. And now it's since the last redo, I'm in love with it all over again. It's just magnificent.
Gail, so, did the monorail go to the Disneyland Hotel at one time?
It did. It stopped right in front of the Disneyland Hotel. Not only that, but you could take the tram from the Disneyland Hotel and it would drop you right at the front gate. So if you have disability issues, I know that the train station is right there in downtown Disney. That's still a walk if you're at Pure Address Pier. Yeah. If you're going to California Adventure Park, there's no easy way to get there. And there are some little shuttle services and golf carts and things that'll take you, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's still, if you've got walking issues, it's a long walk, especially from Paradise Pier. Paradise Pier used to have their own entrance into Disney California Adventure Park, and that's gone now too.
Wow.
So you kind of walk across the street and walk through the Grand and go that way. But again, all our 3 resort hotels are right there.
Yeah.
The Good Neighbor hotels are fabulous. And you can get the Hilton or the Hyatt off a Hotwire for like $89 a night.
Yeah, it was interesting. So, last night I was just looking at their rates for the expo. And I know that sounds crazy, but
no, I know a whole bunch of people that have already booked.
They already booked?
They've already booked. And it's like, you know what, guys? Last time we got these 2 weeks before the expo when we got our media credentials.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm hoping this year. I'm just going to get my media credentials. I'll stay one of those. Once the expo's over, I'll pack up my vacation and move it over to, Grand California, with my DVC. And then, because I can't do the vacation and the expo at the same time. There's just not enough hours in the day.
No. If you've been to expo before, right?
Yeah.
You're not leaving. Yeah. You're not. And there's those hotels that are right there on the same court. So even though the Hilton is attached, so are the other two that are right there on the same court.
I know. I'm All right, we were lazy and took a cab from the Grand California, but still, I said, why are we doing this? Let's just stay right here.
Yeah, and it's worth it because you take all your stuff back to your room where you're up at 3 in the morning, even when you have a media pass waiting in line to get in.
Right, right. Yeah, the Hilton has that UPS store, and I usually wind up, you know, shipping boxes and boxes of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That was one of the few things we usually do not drive to Disneyland because why drive for 8 hours when you get on a plane and fly for, you know, an hour? Right. But that was one of the few we drove down just to bring back everything home.
Oh, so you don't live near Disneyland?
No, I'm an 8 hour drive away, but I have a son that lives 10 minutes from there.
Oh, wow.
And I love to see. I go down to visit him, and that has nothing to do with it. It's like, okay, grandma's got an hour. Who wants to come see me at the park? And I've bought them season passes and stuff. And that's what grandma does, is grandma takes the kids to Disneyland. And if they're really nice, I might babysit them for a night.
Yeah. Right, so you mentioned the season pass. Explain the Disneyland season passes, because they are not the same as the ones in Florida.
Yeah. Well, we have a California rate. So for if you live in California, we can spread our payments out 12 months. You have the Southern California passes, which all summer long, they're blocked out. You can't use them. And then there's an upgrade from the Southern California pass to the next level of Southern California, although I think they did away with that now, where a lot of the summer's open, but you can't go on weekends. You have the deluxe pass, which most of the Saturdays and the holidays are all blocked out, but you can pay an upgraded fee for the day, like you pay $70 and you can use your pass to get in. And then I have I have a premier pass, so I can go to both, but you can get the premium pass, which you can go 365 days a week. It's free parking, it's discounts on food, it's discounts on tour. And I just know how much I pay a month. People ask me, what does it cost to go? I don't have a clue. I can tell you per month what I pay. So, and then we can add to our passes and get the Premier Pass, which I've done, so I can go to both parks. We don't have thumbprints. We don't have any of that. We don't have Magic Bands. Yeah. We show our card. Our little picture comes up. During busy times, we still have to get our hand stamped if we're going from Disneyland to California Adventure or vice versa. You want to do that. So it's different. There's if you've bought your Premier Pass back in Walt Disney World, you have to re-get a new card when you come out to Disneyland, because that's all activated by thumbprint.
Right.
And ours are activated by your picture.
Right.
But the pictures are not on the back of the cards anymore. So you have to take a felt pen and mark whose pass is who. So you don't accidentally try to go with, oh, say, Zachary's pass to get into the park. Not that that's ever happened.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I was the first time I was there, and they were hand stamping me to go over to California Adventure. I said I felt like this is like 1970 technology here.
And we like it that way. Thank you very much. Thank you. Like it that way. Be quiet. We like it that way.
I said hand stamp. I said, what is this 1970 time machine here?
Yeah, and you only need to get your hand stamp with the season passes if it's a busy time of year.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that when they buy their hopper passes now, because you'll see these online where I've only used 2 days and I still have 3 days left. They take your picture with the first use of the hopper passes, whether you buy them online or at Safeway or one of the other stores. So people are under the misconception that you can buy or borrow somebody else's hopper pass. No, you really can't.
Yeah.
Be warning people about that.
Yeah, I think your picture system is definitely better than our fingerprint thing.
Yeah, I could never get my fingerprint to work back there. And I can't tell you how many times I've visited guest service.
And allegedly Disney says it's not actually your fingerprint. They're just measuring the length and width of that finger, not actually your fingerprint. That's what they say. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, if Disney says it, it must be true.
Mickey Mouse would not lie to us.
No, he really wouldn't. It's all faith and trust in pixie dust. We all know that.
I've heard
it's biometrics. I don't know what it is, but I know if you've broken that hand before and then go try to use it, you visit guest services a lot back there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a couple of minutes left, Gil. Will you wrap it up by just telling us all about DisneyGals.com and what kind of great stuff you've got over there that everybody needs to check out?
DisneyGals.com was started about a year and a half ago. I made a comment about, am I the only one that doesn't have a Disney website? And suddenly people came out of nowhere and said, I don't have one. And it was that safety in numbers. And we all learned how to do it together. And that was part of the beauty of it. Everybody working together to share their Disney knowledge. And it grew from there, not just the Disney knowledge, but there's things for kids and arts and crafts and health and fitness and Run Disney and recipes. And it's kind of taken off from there. A lot of people, once they got that under their belt, have created these amazing, amazing websites. A perfect example is Janice Brady and the adult side of Disney, which is, you know, one of the most phenomenal websites out there. And new people will come in that want that comfort and security of a place to write those first articles. And we're giving people a chance to start and feel the support of a family behind them. So it's really an incredible thing about watching people grow, about having people have that chance to live their dreams. And then kind of like a mom, seeing them kind of take off on their own, which I love about it. It's just that springboard and that platform. And through that, you make these lifelong friends that may take you a year to actually meet them in person. But you already have that instant bond and you feel like it's your long lost sister. Or we have guys. We have several gentlemen. There are Disney guys on the staff. And in fact, one of our team members, Lottie Ferguson, just redesigned our whole site. Because now we're starting to work with places like Great America and Universal, and we're doing more global things, more family oriented things. So we were trying to reflect that. And she did an amazing job.
Yeah, you have an awesome site. And I can attest to that. I wrote for you back when I first started blogging. You are just so welcoming and kind. And it's an awesome thing for somebody that's just started blogging to find other people in the Disney community like that. So thank you guys for what you're doing. And I really encourage our listeners to check out DisneyGals.com. It's a great site. And there's so many different things. I'm just looking now at the Fat Girl's Guide to Disney Bounding, which I'm excited to read that.
Jill has done an amazing job with that. Jill That's has done awesome. Such an incredible job, and she's going through this transformation herself. Mm-hmm. So she'll be writing the Skinny Girl's Guide pretty soon, but people don't think about that. And it's really hit a chord with people. It really has resonated with people.
Yeah,
and
it's so exciting. Awesome.
And she had no outlet. So to be able to give her that and share it with people and have other people come on board because of that, it's just really exciting. So it's almost like teaching.
Yeah. Well, it's a great site, and I hope everybody checks it out. And we just want to thank you so much, Gail,
thank
for your
you for
time.
Thank having me.
Being with us today, we really appreciate it. And we're going to put a link to Disney Gals in the show notes and just keep everybody up to date on what you're doing. And thanks so much for your time. And everybody that's listening out there, we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.